Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Well, you're probably familiar with the old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. It means that complex and sometimes multiple ideas can be powerfully conveyed by a single image. A single image which may even convey its meaning more effectively than verbal descriptions. Images are powerful. Pictures are powerful. And I think that the Bible would agree with that. All throughout the Bible, the Word of God uses brilliant images and pictures, brilliant yet simple illustrations to communicate deep theological truths. And particularly for our purposes this morning and for our purposes in this series, the Bible uses a number of images to illustrate divine theological truth about the fellowship of believers, the church of Jesus Christ. For example, on the screen, we have the image of the branch. Jesus illustrates the believer's union to himself and how we relate to one another by calling us branches who are to abide in Jesus Christ, the true vine. We have the image of the building, that we are all living stones being built up into a spiritual house with Jesus himself as the cornerstone, the most important stone in the building. We have the image in the Bible of the bride, that we are all collectively the bride of Jesus Christ, united to Jesus Christ, who will one day be presented to Jesus Christ, who is our bridegroom. And today we come to another simple yet powerful and profound image of the church of Jesus Christ, that the church of Jesus Christ, the fellowship of believers, is like a body. In fact, the Apostle Paul calls the church one body in Christ. Now, as we come to this image of the church as one body, I'm praying that not only would we gain a deeper understanding of our fellowship together and our common life together, but that as we progress through this message, any misconceptions we've embraced about the fellowship of believers or about the church of Jesus Christ, that all of these misconceptions would be dispelled as we have in clear perspective and in clear view what the Bible tells us about the church, one body. Loved ones, we need to understand today, particularly in the days that we are living in, God's heart and God's design for us as the church of Jesus Christ, as the body of Christ. Again, especially in the times that we are living in today, where we find ourselves isolated and far from other people, we need to understand probably more than ever God's design for His church. So I'm trusting that God will do that for us today. And I'm trusting that God will do that in us today. And so the title of this morning's message is this: God's heart for us during COVID-19 and beyond. God's heart for us during COVID-19 and beyond. So I want you to take your Bible with me right now and turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. We're going to spend all of our time in verses 3 to 5, but I want to give a bit more of the context starting from verse 1. This is what the Apostle Paul says to the church at Rome. He says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Verse 4, here's the image. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Loved ones, in this short passage of scripture, I commend this to you, that we have a God's heart and a little bit of God's design for us as the church of Jesus Christ. And I'm believing that this word will come to us as God's heart for us right now in the midst of COVID-19, but also beyond, that God would use even the message today to strengthen our fellowship for what lies ahead of us, not just as we endure what is going on in the world today, but to prepare us to be the church of Jesus Christ in the most profound way in the days to come. So God's heart for Hope Church, Toronto West, in the midst of COVID-19 and beyond, write this down, that we would, number one, pursue gospel humility. That's God's heart for us, and that's where we have to start. Notice it in verse 3. Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, here it is, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, with a right estimation, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And so understanding the wider context is always so critical, and it's no different for us here in our message today. So Romans chapter 1 to 11, we need to understand the wider context. Romans chapters 1 to 11 has been a detailed, a thorough, and theologically robust treatment of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that by the time we get to Romans 12, the Apostle Paul, as he often does, shifts from laying down a strong, firm theological foundation towards a description now of its practical implications for our lives. So what are some of the practical implications of this gospel that he's just laid out in detail in chapters 1 to 11? How are we to understand our lives, not just as individuals, but very specifically here as a community of faith, as a fellowship of believers? What is the Apostle Paul concerned with here for us? Well, in verse 1 of chapter 12, he's very concerned that a right understanding of the gospel, the mercies of God, as he calls it in verse 1, would compel us to live our lives as a living sacrifice, that we would offer ourselves to God as an act of worship. In verse 2, the Apostle Paul is very concerned that a right understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ compels us and leads us to put off conformity to this world and the patterns of this world, and to renew our minds so that we would be transformed continually into the image of Jesus Christ. These are huge themes. This is big stuff. Now in verse 3, the Apostle Paul is concerned, listen, that a right understanding of the gospel produce in us, listen to this, a right view of ourselves. And this will be the key to what he goes on to say in the next two verses. So notice verse 3 again. He says this, for by the grace given to me, he's saying by the power of God given to me, by the favor of God given to me, by the help that God has given me, I say this to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think with sober judgment. Now, very simply, loved ones, this is a call to humility in the church. Not humility as some kind of virtue that we muster up on our own, in our own strength, but the kind of humility that flows from a right understanding of the gospel, or the mercies of God, as he calls it in verse 1 of Romans 12. Because you can't stare into the face of Jesus Christ, understanding all that he's done for you on the cross, and walk away being conceited and puffed up. You can't do that. That's why on the screen for you, Robert Murray McShane said, for every look at self, take 10 looks at Christ. That's so awesome. I'm gonna read that to you again. He says, for every look at self, take 10 looks at Christ. Why? Because the inevitable result of a life that's centered on Jesus Christ, with a renewed understanding of what he's done for you in the gospel, is not look how good I am, but look how unworthy I am. I can't believe what he's done for me. This is the gospel humility that the Apostle Paul is urging the church at Rome to embrace and to put on. Now, why is this so important for us today? As we're in this study called Never Alone, rediscovering, recapturing the necessity and power of life together in the midst of this global pandemic and for the purposes of God beyond all of this. Why is this so important? Well, it's important because the enemy of true biblical fellowship is the opposite of humility. It's pride. And when self-centeredness is given license to flow freely within a church, true Christian fellowship can never flourish. I'm going to say that again. So important for us to understand when self-centeredness, when pride is given license to flow freely within a church, then true Christian fellowship can never flourish. When leaders in the church begin to subtly believe that they're indispensable, that what they offer the church can never be replaced. When people in the church begin to assess their own giftings and their own contributions as better or more important than other people's giftings and other people's contributions. When we carelessly begin to approach the fellowship with a "what have you done for me lately" attitude, that all marks pride in the church, and it is counterproductive to what God wants to do in and through his church and generate humility and generate togetherness. Loved ones, what makes the church of Jesus Christ so attractive in the world is that it's so utterly different and it's so very powerful. It's a compelling community because of the difference-making centrality of the gospel in its midst. We are a gospel community, and the gospel propels us not to think highly of ourselves, but to have a sober judgment about ourselves. The Church of Jesus Christ is a compelling community because of the indwelling power and presence of the Holy Spirit among us, changing us and transforming us and making us more like our humble King, Jesus Christ. And when we, loved ones, lose sight of the mercies of God, when we lose sight of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as he's just laid out for the church at Rome in chapters 1 to 11, when we lose sight of this gospel, we very quickly lose the perspective necessary to fuel our fellowship and our common life together. So here's a question for self-examination for all of us today. Wherever we find ourselves streaming this service, I encourage you, I exhort you to examine your life right now in light of what we are hearing from God's word. Here's the question. When you think about the church, what immediately comes to your mind? How the church serves me? Or how I can humbly serve others. When you think about the church, what immediately comes into your mind? How the church can elevate me, or how I can help elevate others? What comes into your mind? When you think about the church, what comes into your mind? How the church can make things more convenient for me, or how I can sacrifice more for others. Loved ones, here at the outset of our message is a key that we cannot miss. Verse 3, Paul says, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but with sober judgment. Now, as we think about what it means to rediscover and recapture the necessity and the power and the beauty of life together, that we would be a community of faith that is not just a community that gathers based on common interests, but that we are a community that gathers based on one singular commonality that we have, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be so important for us to consider if we are going to be a powerful church, if we are going to be a powerful gospel community, we must first be a community that humbly understands who we are in light of who God is. God's heart for Hope Church in the midst of COVID-19 and beyond, that we would pursue gospel humility. Secondly, this, God's heart for Hope Church in the midst of COVID-19 and beyond, that we would, write this down, experience supernatural unity. That we would experience supernatural unity. Now we come to the image of the church as a body. Notice it in verse 4. Paul goes on to say this, for as in one body, we have many members. Now, the word for is very important. Essentially, the reason you shouldn't think too highly of yourself, verse 3, is because we are one body in verse 4. In other words, listen, if we understand that we are one body, then we will gladly pursue humility. And when we gladly pursue humility, we will then begin to experience supernatural unity. Now, I call it supernatural unity because of the image the Apostle Paul gives us. It's supernatural because people who would otherwise be separated and alienated from one another because of a variety of different barriers are now united together by one mutual and common bond. That's Jesus Christ. There's people in the church you would never be friends with. There's people in the church you'd never get to know outside of this awesome reality that we have all been united to Jesus Christ. That's what makes the fellowship so beautiful. That's what makes the fellowship so powerful. It's that people who would never get together are getting together because of Jesus. And that, in fact, is a picture of heaven, of people from every tribe and tongue and people and language have been ransomed by God through Jesus Christ to be brought into his kingdom. It's a beautiful picture of our unity, and it's supernatural. Now, I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul is saying here in verse 4. He's essentially saying that if you want to understand what the church of Jesus Christ is like, if you want to understand truly what God's design is for the church, he gives this analogy. He says, now just take a look at the human body. That by God's design, every true follower of Jesus Christ, having been united to Christ, is also powerfully and supernaturally united to a greater body in the most fundamental and necessary way. And the definition of this unity is the interdependence and harmony of all the members, just like in the human body. I want you, as you consider our fellowship, as you consider Hope Church Toronto West, I want you to watch now the implications of Paul's analogy or his illustration. That just as it is impossible for a hand to function independently from the rest of the body, so it is impossible for every true disciple of Christ to function independently from the rest of the body, from the church. Just as it's impossible for an eye to function independently from the rest of the body, so it is impossible for disciples of Jesus Christ to function independently from the rest of the body, the church. Just as it's impossible for a set of feet to function independently from the rest of the human body, so it is impossible for true disciples of Jesus Christ to function independently from the rest of the body, the church. This is powerful, loved ones. And I'm praying that this now begins to help us dispel any misconceptions of the church, namely, an understanding of the church is a place you simply attend. A church is not a place you simply attend. Church is a fellowship, a body that all of us belong to, that by necessity and by design, when the body is functioning well, all the members or all the limbs or all the parts must be functioning in unity, in harmony with one another, in togetherness. Now, when I kneel down to tie my shoe, I kneel down on a rough surface on the pavement. Many parts of my body are involved. You've probably done this before. My hands are involved. They have to do the tying of the shoelaces. My knee is involved. I need a place to rest my knee. My eyes are involved. I need to look carefully at what I'm doing so I can tie my shoe. But can you imagine if the knee just suddenly decided that this is too painful for me, being rubbed against this pavement? I don't want to be part of this. Can you imagine? I wouldn't be able to fulfill my task in tying my shoe. Or when I wake up in the morning to try to get out of bed, many parts of my body are involved. Can you imagine if my arms decided that they didn't want to get up out of bed with the rest of my body? Can you imagine trying to get up out of bed without the use of your arms? It wouldn't work. It wouldn't function properly. Or when I'm late for an appointment and I need to hurry, many of my parts are involved and I want to start jogging, but could you imagine if I'm in a hurry and starting to jog to go to the place of destination I need to get to and my legs decided I'm not really interested in being part of what the rest of the body is doing? I would fall flat on my face. It wouldn't work. You understand what I'm saying. You're getting the point. But are we getting the point? See, we look at analogies like this and we understand it well enough, but do we truly understand it? The Church of Jesus Christ often looks like a human body trying to run, but the legs are not being part of it. They fall flat on their face. The Church of Jesus Christ often looks like the body that's kneeling down to tie its shoe, but the knee doesn't want to be involved. It tries to move out, and then you just fall flat on your face. The Church of Jesus Christ often looks like this.
not unified, not every member, every limb, every part functioning together in unity. But so many of us want to function independently, wanting to do our own thing. And maybe in this season of your life, that temptation is being fueled even more because you're stuck at home. You can't go anywhere. And maybe you're feeling depressed. Maybe you're feeling despair. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't feel like talking to anyone else. I don't feel like going to my hope group online. It's not the same. I don't feel like picking up the phone and talking to people. I just feel like doing my own thing. Loved ones, by God's design, He has not only united us to Himself, but He unites us supernaturally to one another such that we are one body in Jesus Christ. And understanding this has massive implications for how you view yourself as a Christian and how you view the church of Jesus Christ as a whole. So, another question, another heart check for self-examination. Pay attention and examine your heart right where you are. Question for you, are you, loved ones, are you walking in the reality of that kind of unity with other followers of Jesus Christ today? Or are you attempting the Christian life on your own? You say, well, how do I know I'm attempting the Christian life on my own? I'm not really sure. Well, here are a few questions or a few ways to understand if we are attempting the Christian life on our own. I know I'm attempting the Christian life on my own when I have little or no conversations about my Christian life with other believers. Does that describe you? I know I'm attempting the Christian life on my own when I have a hard time working harmoniously with other believers. Well, I know I'm attempting the Christian life on my own when I generally think of myself as an individual rather than part of a community. That's easy for us in this individualistic society that we live in. There is a high value on individualism. Be your own person, do your own thing, be independent, be self-sufficient. That's what the world tells us. But it's contrary to God's design for the church. How about this? I know I'm attempting the Christian life on my own when, maybe this is for someone today, when I use privacy as an excuse to keep my distance from other believers. Does that describe you? Maybe that describes someone watching, and right now, the Spirit of God is working through the proclamation of the Word of God to shine a light on your heart to tell you that you were never meant to be alone. In fact, God saved you and united you to Jesus Christ. And not only that, but then He unites you supernaturally to a body of believers that we function interdependently with, not on our own. And if you're watching this right now and you are feeling lonely, or you're feeling like you don't belong, hear this, loved ones. You do belong. If you are a child of God today, you do belong. By God's design, you belong to the body. This is God's heart for Hope Church, Toronto West, in the midst of COVID-19 and beyond, that we would together pursue gospel humility, that we would together, even in these days, experience supernatural unity. Oh, how I pray that in these days we would experience supernatural unity, maybe more than at any other season in the life of our church. Oh, how I pray that. But there's a third thing. God's heart for Hope Church Toronto West in the midst of COVID-19 and beyond. That we would pursue gospel humility and experience supernatural unity. Finally, this may be my favorite. God's heart for us is that we would, write this down, rejoice in our diversity. Rejoice in our diversity. Look at verse 5. Paul goes on, for as in one body we have many members. There's a lot of us. And the members, watch this now, and the members do not have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. This is so good and so important here. When some of us think about unity, this is why we have to clarify this, because when some of us think about unity, we think a uniformity. That's what some of us think. When some of us think unity, we think we all have to be the same. But that's not at all what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says precisely the opposite in this text. The Church of Jesus Christ is a place where there is supernatural unity, listen, in the midst of diversity. In the midst of diversity. Remember the analogy, the church is like a human body, and the human body has many parts. And all the parts, Paul says, have different functions. All the parts, they're not all the same. There's a diversity of functionality. This is the reason we should all humble ourselves. And it's also the reason we all need to engage ourselves. Humility, because you can't say you're the most important part. Every single part is needed. Humility, because you can't say it's all about me and my role in the body. No, Paul just said we all have different functions and every part is needed if we understand the analogy. But engagement, because you can't say I don't belong here. Why? Because every part is needed. Humility, because we can't say that we're the most important part. Every part is needed. And engagement, because you can't say, I don't belong here, because every part is needed. Now, isn't it interesting, loved ones, that there are at least two kinds of people in the church, at least two kinds of people watching this service online right now. There are those who are watching right now who may not even realize this, but secretly in their hearts, they think they're the best thing in the church. It's true. Every church has these people in them. That's why Paul had to write this to the church at Rome. Isn't it interesting that there are at least two kinds of people in the church? There are those that secretly think that they're the best thing in the church, and there are those who secretly feel that they don't belong in the church at all. Maybe, loved ones, at different points, we've all struggled at both ends. Isn't it also interesting that so much of the disunity in the church comes from the frustration we often feel towards others in the body who don't see it exactly the way I see it, who don't do it exactly the same way I do it. Isn't it interesting that much of the disunity that takes place in the church comes from the frustration that we so often feel because the other people in this church, they're not like me. They don't see it like me. Isn't it interesting that the very thing that often causes disunity in a church is the thing that the Apostle Paul says is of tremendous value to the church, that we must learn to be a church that rejoices in our diversity, that there are so many different kinds of people here. I'm so glad that on our staff there are so many different kinds of people. I'm so glad that there are so many different kinds of giftings. I'm so glad that on our staff and amongst our elders and amongst our deacons that not everyone is like me. I am so happy about that. We'd have a big problem if everyone was like me, but oh, how beautiful it is, church. Oh, how beautiful and God-glorifying it is when we learn to see the church for what it really is, a beautiful display of the glory of God made manifest through the different gifts and functions and personalities of the people in the church. The church of Jesus Christ, Paul tells us, is one body. And God's heart for us, Hope Church, hear me. God's heart for us in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic and beyond, because he is preparing us. He is preparing us, church, to be a stronger church for when we get back together. God's heart for us now is that we would all take this call very, very seriously and see things through the lens of the Bible, that we are called now to pursue gospel humility. No more thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, but asking God right now to give us a sense of who we really are, and we'll get an increased sense, an accurate assessment of ourselves as we see ourselves in light of the mercies of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's heart for us is to experience this supernatural unity together. There are so many people gathered in hope groups across our church, meeting in homes, in the platform of Zoom, online, and there's so much fruitfulness coming out of that. But what about you? Are you experiencing that kind of unity? Or are you on your own? Are you able to pick up the phone and call someone because you know you can't be alone? You belong to a body. Are you able to FaceTime someone and experience this kind of unity with other believers because you know you can't be alone? Have you been doing that? Do you understand the necessity of that? Or are you thinking it's enough to just sit at home and watch the sermon, just me and Jesus? It's not enough, loved ones. We need each other. We are built and designed as one body. Pray with me, church. Pray that we experience this supernatural unity. Thirdly, God's call on our lives right now is to see clearly the beauty, not the hindrance, the beauty of our diversity, and to rejoice in our diversity. The church of Jesus Christ is a beautiful and powerful body, with each member functioning interdependently on one another. And if we can just get a sense of the glory of God revealed in his church through the members mutually supporting one another and loving each other and supporting each other and living in the reality of this beautiful analogy that the Apostle Paul gives us, we will see in the midst of COVID-19 a gathering of our church like at no other time. We will see in our church, in the midst of this hardship, a gathering and an encouraging and a strengthening of the church in the midst of a very hard season for many people in our world. And if we can get our arms around this, loved ones, we will see our church, listen to me, equipped and prepared and strengthened for all that God has for us in the days to come. If we could just see clearly what Jesus Christ designed his church to be. The church is a beautiful place. And I pray that if you're watching this right now, you are finding your heart stirred within you. And if you've been alone, that you will no longer settle for anything less than God's design for you in the midst of this compelling gospel community. And that together, loved ones, we would be a compelling gospel community. Pray this with me, church, right now. And let's believe that as we pray right now, wherever we find ourselves streaming this service, that the God of heaven, the head of the body, Jesus Christ, will hear us and he will answer us and he will strengthen us and he will do things in us that we never thought possible, all for his glory and the advancing of his mission. Let's pray together, church. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your gospel. We thank you, Lord, first for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that through your death and resurrection, you secured for all who would believe a new life and a resurrection of their own, the forgiveness of our sins, the penalty paid, and now a resurrection of a dead heart to a new life. And thank you, Lord, that we haven't been resurrected to a new life to wander around on our own, but you have given us the Holy Spirit to live within us, that you said, Jesus, you will be with us always, even to the end of the age. And that you have united us to one another in the most powerful and supernatural ways. Oh God, right now I pray with my brothers and sisters who are scattered wherever they find themselves. Oh, how I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that today you begin a stirring of the heart. You begin an awakening of the heart of so many people who maybe have viewed the church as a place to attend and not a place to belong. And I pray that you would gather your people, that you would gather us wherever we find ourselves, that you would gather us together supernaturally, beautifully, in a way that gives us life, that breathes life into us in a way that causes us to function as a church in the most effective way possible. No one disengaged, no one moving in pride, but everyone humbling themselves and engaged with one another, ministering to one another mutually, because you said that we are members of one another. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would do a tremendous work amongst us, and I'm depending on you so much to do it now as you gather us. I say that with faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.